If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN. This week we will talk to former Blackhawk Brian Bickell, and we'll also talk to the Hawks Director of Amateur Scouting, Mark Kelly. But first, can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. And we welcome former Blackhawk Brian Bickell now to the Hawks Talk Podcast. Brian, before we get to exactly where you're at right now health-wise and what's next for you after your NHL career, I want to ask you, are you surprised by the teams that have reached the conference finals, Ottawa and Pittsburgh in the East and Nashville and Anaheim in the West?
I want to say half the teams I'm pretty surprised, with Pittsburgh, you see their depth and, what they had, it's hard to win back-to-back and they look like they're going to move on, but for the teams that you didn't really expect to get to the first round, which was Ottawa, and see them do what they did, and Nashville, to get by the first round by the Hawks was a huge task, and especially the way they did it. But it's going to make up for a good second half of the playoffs, and I've been watching the first half, so it'll be definitely exciting.
You mentioned that first round series for the Blackhawks against Nashville. From your vantage point, I mean, you've got a lot of friends still on this Blackhawks team. What do you think they were missing? Because, obviously, that was the first time that they had been swept out of a playoff under Joel Quenneville. What do you think was missing from this year's playoff team?
I don't know if there was, much missing. I think, the team, they were the best in the West, and they had, I think, five games going into playoffs to, rest guys. But, it kind of got them in the comfort mode. And then you see, before you know, they're down 2-0, and then they get swept. It wasn't they weren't near to where they need to be to win a game or to get anything going. I know going into playoffs, their record wasn't that good. And it kind of showed it. And, for the pushback and what they had, which is, disappointing from a lot of sides. But, I know they're going to bounce back and be better next year.
Are you shocked that Alex Ovechkin, in his 12 seasons, this all-world talent that is always seemingly in the MVP discussion, has not found a way to get to the conference finals? It's hard when you think of all the great sports, all the different sports, a player of that magnitude at some point not reaching, the conference finals of his sport. Does it shock you that OV has not been there yet?
I think so. I thought, this year was definitely a good chance for, him to, make the finals and, ultimately win a cup. You kind of look at our division. The Metropolitan Division this year was, there was, four or five teams over 500, or not over 500, over 100 points, and, they had a battle with each other, but, give to Pittsburgh, and, never gave up, and, for them to push the game seven, they just didn't have enough juice in the tank for that last game for offense, but, his career's not over yet, and he's a great player, and that's, played against him a couple times. But I know one day he'll hopefully get there, but, I'm just a spectator now, and if you enjoy watching some hockey.
Brian Bickell joining us on the Hawks Talk Podcast. You take a look at what you've been through over the last year and really the last few years. How you diagnosed with MS back in November. How are you doing? Have you found a treatment plan that you're comfortable with and that your family's comfortable with?
Yeah, I think so. You know, for the treatment that I got, you know, was getting through hockey, and that's my, you know, best way to, you know, finish off the way I did. You know, we're going to ride that, you know, that trail for a bit and see how my body reacts. But, you know, for right now, I feel a lot better. I'm kind of taking about 10 steps back and going at my own speed. I know the hockey, it's, you know, tough on a normal person's body, but, you know, for me to slow down and not, you know, travel and get my rest and not putting my body through those kind of paces, it's been better. So we're just going to take it day by day right now and enjoy some time with the family and watch my two girls grow up.
Well, Kinsley and Michaela, your two daughters, your wife Amanda, where have you guys decided where you're going to, you know, begin the next chapter? Are you going to go to Canada? Are you going to come back here to Chicago? What are your plans on the next chapter of your career?
The next step right now, we're still in Raleigh. We're, you know, enjoying the weather down here. I know the weather in Chicago, we were there last week. It was kind of on a low point in the 40s, but it's the same back home. We're just going to, you know, hang it for another couple of weeks here and then ultimately head back home. For the last 10 years, I've been, you know, only been home for 4 summers, and now it's, you know, nice to be, you know, back near my family and Amanda's family, and for them to see our girls and things like that, it's going to be important. And to have a, you know, a close babysitter on hand, too, would be nice. But for right now, we're going to head it back to Canada and see where it goes from there.
Take us through that last game. Obviously, it'd been an emotional weekend. Probably you'd been going through a lot just considering retirement and everything that you'd been dealing with your health. You had your teammates come to your support you the day before, or actually the morning of, I believe, of the final game. And then you go out there and score that shootout goal. I mean, what was that last, say, weekend like for you?
Yeah, I want to say the week going into it, you know, playing in the minors and then getting called back and playing the last 4 games. You know, the first game was in Minnesota, so I had, you know, I talked to Josh Harden, and I know he was there, and, you know, it was kind of neat to do that. And then headed back home and then, you know, playing in front of, you know, my girls and my wife and the fans at and the teammates that, you know, supported me. It was definitely special. Then, you know, a couple of days later to announce, you know, this is going to be it. You know, it's when you think about that, you always think about all the people that, you know, helped you to get to this point and to help you, you know, achieve your ultimate goal is to, you know, to win the Stanley Cup. And for the memories and the people that, you know, helped me, it went through my head a lot during that week, and you know, to finish it off in Philly and seeing the Philly fans in respect and cheering, which, you know, they're not known to do that, and to show the respect of my teammates and just inspiring a lot of people that go through this, and you know, it was a good way to end.
Hey, Brian, have doctors said anything? You know, obviously your last couple years here, you were dealing with you know, a lot of different things. At times you thought it was vertigo, didn't exactly know really what it was. Did any doctors say that could have been maybe some early, I mean, they can't probably pin it down, but that could have been the early stages of MS? Has any doctor said that?
No, none of the doctors. They haven't quite pinned rhyme and reason, you know, how you get it. They say a lot of northern countries and states that get it more because, I guess, they're exposed to the cold and things like that. You know, I don't want to say it started a couple years ago, but you just don't know. And, you know, to get the news, it was relieving and also disappointing at the same time because, you know, those years were, you know, you didn't know what was going on. You're not playing your best, and you're just going through your head where what's wrong, what's wrong. And then, you know, down the road, you kind of get the news of, you know, you have this big, you know, disease that's kind of slowing you down. So, you know, for us to find the news and then kind of move on, it's big, and hopefully I can, you know, help out as many people as I can, and especially myself at the same time.
Scott Darling just signed a contract in Carolina. Have you talked to your former teammate and told him anything about Raleigh and some of the ropes for the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I know he called me before he got traded and signed of, you know, what kind of, you know, town, team, coaching, managing, all the fine little questions that, you know, any player has when they're coming to a new team. And he felt it was a good decision to come here. I know last year they had some ups and downs and goalies with Ward playing well, then, you know, Eddie getting hurt and, you know, things like that. And that was, I think, what the Carolina Hurricanes wanted to do to start with the goalie and move forward. I know they got a lot of young players, especially in the D, are going to move forward every year. So for him to, you know, get a footprint and have a kind of a home base for the next 4 years, it's going to help this team out huge.
Brian, you'll be forever remembered here as part of three Stanley Cup teams in Chicago. I guess everybody would point to probably being a part of the 17 seconds as one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable moment for you on the ice. If I took that play out of it, that goal against Boston out of it, what is your fondest memory of being a Blackhawk?
You know, just being part of a, you know, world-class organization. You know, you think of, you know, other countries, and everybody talks about the Yankees and the Maple Leafs and teams like that. Now you can put the Blackhawks in that category of what we've done in the last you know, decade, from where they were and to where they are now. And, you know, to be a part of that and to see the team grow and the sport, you know, getting its second win back in Chicago is, you know, something really special. And, you know, always going to have that with the championships. And, you know, what you said before, the 17 seconds, it's something great that I'm always going to have.
Well, we thank you for everything you did while you were a Blackhawk. And, you know, you and your wife, Amanda, have done a lot through the Bickle Foundation, helping, you know, rescue abused pit bulls. And now you add this element of helping those that are dealing with MS. So there's certainly a bigger plan for Brian Bickle and your wife, and we really appreciate you spending time with us today, and best of luck to you down the road.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Good to hear from you again.
Again, our thanks to Brian Bickle for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast this week. And a reminder, the Bickle Foundation is having a charity event, a Fetching Affair, July 21st. It's at the Moonlit Studios here in Chicago. It begins at 7 o'clock. It's celebrating the Bickle's mission of assisting abused children and dogs and launching our new MS Service for Dog program. Again, that's a Fetching Affair, the Bickle Foundation, Moonlight Studios, July 21st here in Chicago. For more information, go to the Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation website. Up next, we'll talk to the director of amateur scouting for the Blackhawks, Mark Kelly.
It's sports, it's social, it's fun. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night, 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN.
Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshot.
Catch a brand new episode of Beer Money presented by Coors Light. Chicago's favorite sports trivia show, where fans are put to the test for a chance to take home cash. Every Sunday night at 7 on CSN.
Welcome back to the Hawks Talk Podcast. Time to catch up now with the Hawks Director of Amateur Scouting about 6 weeks before the big draft, Mark Kelly.
So before we get to this year's draft, I wanted to go back to 2013. And when you see Ryan Hartman, John Hayden, Tyler Mott, all from that 2013 draft class on the ice this year in various roles with the Blackhawks, do you and your group say, well, we did our job. That's a nice draft class.
Yeah, I think we look at it as it is a nice draft class, but then we look at it, it's the whole process of developing them and bringing them along, and it becomes a group effort. We draft them, then we turn them over to the development side, and the development side, helps them get to where they are.
When you look at Alex DeBrincat in the second round last year, 39th overall, named the OHL's most outstanding player with 127 points in 63 games. Did that production even exceed what your wildest expectations could have been leading into that draft?
No, because his, he'd always produced the two previous years. I think what really impressed us this year was there was no resting on past accomplishments. I think he came back this year maybe a little bit hungrier, working a little bit harder, probably for Alex, he felt a slight that he was picked in the second round. We don't look at him as our second round pick. We look at him as our first pick of the 2016 draft.
As you look at the 2017 draft now and you're meeting, is there a position of strength in this 2017 draft?
I don't think this is a different draft. It's a little bit undefined at this point. I think there'll be more definition to this draft in the next month. But there's nothing at the top. I think there's good conversation on who is going to go first overall. But I think if you polled 60 people in the business, I think you might have three or four different names. And that hasn't been the case the past few drafts.
Nice to have the full allotment of picks, several in the fifth round. So it probably gives you some leeway to try to move around a little bit. As you look at it and you try to put this draft board together, what's that process like?
Well, right now what we've done is the on-ice viewings are done. There's a few players that will play in the Memorial Cup that are up for the draft. We'll get a last look at them. But really, for most of the players now, the on-ice part is done. So in our meetings now, we're talking about what they've accomplished on the ice, how we project them on the ice. But now we're spending a lot of time on the whole character, background information. We'll head into the combine at Buffalo, take hard looks at how they test, and not necessarily the results, but how we can project them physically developing, how we can project them developing their character and as a person, and we weigh that with their development and their projection on the ice.
How important is that interview when you're meeting with the player?
The Buffalo interview is not as important as the times we've talked to them and interviewed them during the year. For us, we find the Buffalo interview to be the familiarity we've established with the player. It really, we can kind of get the candor there. We can really kind of ask them kind of questions. We don't feel that they're trying to tell us the right answer. We ask them questions that they're comfortable with, but we're trying to find something new every time we talk to them.
There's in like the NFL draft, for example, there's a lot of, under the radar stealth movements as far as meeting with players, private workouts. Does that go on much in the NHL, or is it a little more open book?
It does. It's not necessarily an open book. The NFL is different. They're very limited in how much contact they can have with the NCAA players during the year. They don't have the same kind of access throughout the year that we do to spend time interviewing with them, maybe to go to dinner with them. So there, after their season in the combine, that is where most of their interviewing takes place.
As you're setting up this draft board, and even on draft days, is it by and large best player available, or do you look at the overall depth chart of the organization and say, well, you know, we're not as deep here with puck-carrying defensemen, or we could use a couple more physical forwards? I mean, do you weigh that with best player available and some try to find some common ground?
You do. You take that all into account. In the early rounds, you're looking for the best player, and for us, it's the best player best fit for the Blackhawks. As the draft goes on, you're cognizant of your depth chart. So you do at times start looking in comparatively if it's a forward and a defenseman, that would weigh into it. So much now of the players, where our players are coming from, are from the draft, free agents and what have you. So we are cognizant of what we have for a depth chart and going forward what our depth chart is going to look like.
Take us through your schedule. How much are you out on the road to see players in person? How much do you rely on tape?
Well, we rely on tape. We use tape. We watch players. But tape is generally better after you're familiar with the player. Then it's easier to pick him out. You're looking for specific things when you're looking at the tape.
How has the amateur scouting department, since you came to Chicago 10 years ago, how has it grown? I mean, is infrastructure-wise, the number of bodies and folks that you're dealing with, has it changed a lot since?
We've completely overhauled. From the time that I came on 10 years ago, and really it kind of mirrors the same time that John McDonough, Jay Blunk, Stan Bowman, Al McIsaac, and myself, since we've been there, the scouting department has been completely revamped. We have one person that's been left over that, and it was never our target to change over our staff, but our philosophy had changed, and with the philosophical change, we made adjustments in the staff that fit our philosophy. As far as resources go, it's a totally different world. From the time when Rocky Wirtz took over the team with John McDonough, we've never been in need of resources. Everything we need has been made available.
And that includes certainly the international aspect of this, where you guys have been tremendously successful. How much has the international scouting changed over the years?
The biggest change has become in the amount of bodies and the amount of people we have at games. We're not lacking in coverage. We've brought on people that are looking for players that are that are specific to what the kind of game that we're playing, the kind of game we want to play.
When you talked about the philosophy, is there an easy way to sum up what that philosophy is of the scouting department and what you're looking for?
Well, it really comes down to, the philosophy comes from what Stan is looking for in players, and I communicate that, Stan communicates that to the staff, and the staff has to, when they look at a player, see, is it a fit? We look at different things in a player. You look at their skating, their compete, the skill level, and we try to weigh that and fit it into the way Blackhawks play hockey.
Do you have a favorite draft story in the last 10 years? It could be a player that kind of came through the process late that you guys really started talking about leading up to the draft, and kind of the snowball got going and you went and got that player, or somebody who dazzled you in an interview or at the combine. Is there one story that sticks out most?
No, I think when you look back at a draft, then I think you find, you know, the stories or the incidents that kind of shaped your mold towards the player. But a lot of it happens over time. And I think sometimes it happens, the players make an impression on us, and we're not actually aware of the one specific, but it's really a body of work.
The fact that the draft is here in Chicago, I don't know, I guess it doesn't really change much other than where you're going to be physically, but your thoughts on just having the draft here in Chicago, and it's such a big stage for the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's exciting for us as an organization because we get so much support from the city of Chicago, our fans, that we know they're excited about the draft. The fact that it's here, it doesn't change anything except we know we'll get cheered.
Our thanks to Mark Kelly and best of luck to the Blackhawks in the upcoming NHL draft. Once again, thanks to Brian Bickle who joined us earlier in the podcast. You can catch the Bickle Foundation, a fetching affair, their charity event July 21st at the Moonlight Studios in Chicago. That will begin at 7 o'clock. Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshot. That's going to do it for the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll see you next time.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.